This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome all you listeners wherever you may be during this season and all. And so we're honored to be here. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And our program, is, if you've been listening, is called Raising the Standard. Somebody I know is listening today for the first time, never heard us before. So our program is called Raising the Standard. So we do a lot of things to try to bring truth to the Word of God for the body of Christ, because a lot of things are just out of skelter. We know that. But the Word of God is what we have to base everything on. That's what we do. And so we're going to give you some truth here again today, and we hope you can put that in your heart. We've got this season now called Christmas, and we've talked about this in the past few weeks and all about this is not when He was really born, but it's a great time to honor Him and at least thank God sometime during the year that the world in general, for most people, will recognize that this is a time, supposedly, in their thought, that some man named Yeshua or Jesus was born at this time. Well, I hope there's more and more people will come at this season than ever before. And what a good time to come with all the lights. And, you know, he says in John 8:12 that Yeshua, Jesus, is the light of the world. He said, "I am the light of the world." Well, now He's in us, so we're the light of the world. So we spread what He brought to the earth, and so we're going to continue to do that. So that's the purpose. So we're going to talk some more today about the birth of Yeshua and all that. And before we start, I'm going to have Donna share our phone number and where we have our meetings. And I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island. We talked to them yesterday, and they're doing well, and they're excited, and they've been praying for us.
Amen.
I mean, all the time, for our health and all that. And so
Yes. We
want you to remember them, if you could, in their prayers. And they're building the temple of God. The building's getting close to being done. They're trying to get money for the roof. They need about $8,000 more to finish the roof, and the building will be getting close to being done. And so Roscoe's working hard at that. And so we just thank God for both of them. They're our sister church. We're with them. They're with us. Hallelujah. And we're just honored to lift them up and let the world know that there's a little island over in the Bahamas called Andros Island.
Andros Island.
And they're the only apostle and prophetess on that island. And so they're declaring the Word of God. They're walking that street they're on called Conch Sound. And when we talked to them yesterday, Roscoe got his conch shell that he drilled a hole in it, and he uses it for a shofar, and it sounded pretty good, didn't it? So anyway, so Roscoe and Otter, we just want to say hello to you, and we love you very much. So keep up the good work.
Amen. So, we're just blessed to have them. Amen.
Yeah. Yep.
They were with us for quite a while, and then we sent them out and started building that church, and it is a beautiful building. In fact, the inspectors over there say there's nothing over there that's like that. You know, when they had that bad storm, not a thing was damaged.
That's right.
So we just need to get that roof on. Amen.
Yeah. Most of the buildings during that storm, when it was over, all was left was a slab.
There's some churches were even in the water, they said. All the pews were out in the water.
That's right.
And the church buildings and roofs were gone, and but they are a prophetic church, and they they teach the feast of the Lord.
That's right.
And of course, some people think they're a little bit, but they wanted to, they want the truth, and we just love them. So we love you guys. I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida, on Saturday at 2 o'clock. We won't be having one today, though.
Right.
But anyways, I'm going to give our phone number in case you'd like to give us a call. It's area code 772-285-7007. Amen?
Amen.
So we do want to wish you all a wonderful...
And a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
Happy holiday, New Year's, and family time. People will be with their family.
Yes.
Some people won't, but, you know, we all have the Lord, don't we?
Sure do. So we're honored to be here with you. I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. As we always mention, if you can't, we do offer CDs, and we don't ask for anything except you just ask the Lord what he would ask you to give to us as a love offering, and we'll, whatever you send in, we'll send you the CD out. Amen. We got our dear sister Margie Swaney with us again today, and she's got some good things to share too. But I'm just going to open up. There's three places in Scripture I want to look at with you for a little bit, because, you know, the Bible foretold about the Messiah coming. And, you know, the Jews believe that there's a Messiah. But see, we read something from a rabbi. I got him in the mail the other day from a publication I get from Israel. And this rabbi believes that Yeshua, the Messiah, was born on, I think it was July the 21st of this year. Well, how can that possibly be? You know, it's contrary to the Word of God. So they're in unbelief, and they don't believe in the Messiah. But we're hoping with things that happens in this end of this year and the beginning of next year and all, that there'll be more and more Jewish people come to the Messiah. And wouldn't this be a great time for them to come?
See, they know that there was a man named Yeshua, or
that's right,
or Jesus born.
And he was a prophet.
But they don't believe he's God.
That's right.
But Jesus is God.
That's right.
He's a God man.
He's the Son of God.
And he had to come to this earth.
That's right.
To do the work he did on the cross, right, that we might be saved.
So God had to use him to identify with you and I that he lived and walked on this earth as a man, just like we do as men and women. And he went through the same things we did. He had to eat. He had to drink water. He got tired. His feet got dirty. He had to sleep. He had to do all those things. And so he truly validated what we have, that we have to deal with as well. And so he did it for, you know, he was on the earth for 33 and a half years, but his ministry only lasted for the last 3 and a half. But he was made fun of. He was persecuted. All these things that were not wonderful happened to him. But think about all the people that he healed. And of course, the Bible only shows certain things that the Messiah did, that Yeshua did while he walked the earth. And so the Bible tells us in John over there, if everything was written that Yeshua did, the libraries probably wouldn't even hold it, you know. And so we're going to talk about the Messiah. But he had to come first, didn't he? And God knew that no man was qualified on this earth to be the Messiah that would had never sinned. There's only one person that ever lived on this earth that never failed and never sinned, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Messiah and our Savior. And so he sent his only begotten Son to the earth. And what the Scripture says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you and I, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he is the answer. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no one will come to the Father except by me. And so that's what we're believing for this holiday season more than anything else. When I tell people Merry Christmas in the grocery store where we're at, I always tell them, remember the reason for the season. It's not about buying gifts and all this. It's about honoring the man that they're supposed to be looking to that came to be our Savior, whether they believe it or not. And whether some people believe he was born at Christmas or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is he came, and thank God he did come. And the Scriptures reveal, we talked about that last week, when he did come. So I want to look at a couple of things in the First Covenant about this that was foretold about the Messiah. So I'm going to take you over to Isaiah chapter 7. If you're at home, you can open up a Bible, and I want to read a few verses here. Now, if you read chapter 7, there was a battle about ready to happen between Ephraim and the Syrians, and they were going to attack Jerusalem and all that. So I'm not going to get into all that, but I want to start in verse 10 after God spoke to them. Well, I'm going to read verse 9. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. I think about this with Yeshua. If we don't trust him and believe in him How can we really be established in our walk with the, with our life today? We need him in our life more than our next breath. So he said, if you will not believe, so we have to believe, not no doubt, surely you shall not be established. Now look what he says next, chapter 7, verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, this is one of the kings, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to worry men, but will you worry my God also? Now these next verses are very key. Listen to this. Prophetic for Yeshua. Therefore, the Lord himself, hear this? You notice the Lord is in all capital letters here. The Lord himself. So what does that tell you? Shod Hei Vav-Hei. And the Lord himself shall give you what? A sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, what does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. So Yeshua is God, and he came to be with men for those 33 and a half years, but especially the last 3.5. And then we go on, verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And so we look at this, you know, it's referring to Yeshua, but you know, when a boy, a male, when he turned 13 years old, he was called the son of the command. So by the time they were 13 and their bar mitzvahed, they were supposed to know the Torah, okay? And that was a period of 13 years. So in verse 16 says, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Well, this was about 13 years before he realized that, when he was a son of the command. Amen? So that's one. There's the first one. Now, the other place I want to go is, we're in chapter 9 now of Isaiah, and I want to look at a couple of verses here. Verse 6, listen to this. We all should know this if you're a believer. If not, and you've never read this, well, this is a good time to read it. For unto you, or as to you and to us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, for henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So here we got two prophetic words, don't we? Now let's move forward in your Bible. Let's go over to the book of Micah. Got to go through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, past Daniel, Hosea, go through there, through Joel, Amos. I'm just kind of taking you through here, Jonah. So it's right after the book of
Jonah.
You're
going to teach us the names of the Bible?
Yeah.
That sounds good.
That's right. So here's the book of Micah. Now, Micah's name in the Hebrew means, who is like God? There's none like God, is there? That's what it tells us in the Hebrew. All right, now I want to go to chapter 5 in the prophetic book of Micah. Now, even God tells us right here in the Bible where Yeshua is going to be born and all the rest of it. It's all here. So I'm going to start in verse 1. We're going to read the first three verses. Now, gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Didn't that happen in Yeshua's day?
Yes.
Sure did. Now, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, the word Bethlehem, we know in the Hebrew, means a house of bread. That's where all the lambs were raised. They were offered for sacrifice. All right. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Therefore will they give them up until the time that she which travaileth, who's this? Referring to Mary. To the time that she hath travailed, hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So the Messiah, Yeshua, started this, and we know that Mary brought him into the world and all that. And we know it tells us in Matthew 25 that God's going to judge the nations one day for their decision about the Messiah. And you remember, it talked about the goat nations we put on the left hand, the ones that don't believe, and the sheep nations will be on the right. And so there's a separation. But I want to keep this thought right here. And I want to go to Genesis 35 with you. Go to Genesis chapter 35. I should have put a marker in my Bible for time's sake. That's all right. Okay. Genesis 35. Okay. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Starting in verse 16, it says, "And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephratah, which we just talked about in Micah chapter 5. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing." Now here's a clue. There's no such thing as soul sleep, right? What's happening here? "And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." And Benjamin, what's Benjamin's name means, huh? The son of sorrow, the son of the right hand, huh? "And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephratah, which is Bethlehem," referring to what we just talked about over here in Micah. See what it says? "But thou, Bethlehem," I'm in 5:2 of Micah, "but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." You notice how Micah wrote that? Who hath come forth unto me? He's come forth to us. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So Yeshua had to be born, didn't he?
Yes.
And thank God that he was. And so he came, and
And you know, it was a virgin birth.
That's right. We just read that in Isaiah.
Birth.
That's right. Virgin birth. A lot of people don't believe that. Like, oh, that couldn't happen.
Well, she was still a virgin when she gave birth to that child.
That's right. You can read
Yeshua.
In the first chapter, I think, in Matthew and in Luke, it says that the Holy Ghost just came upon her.
That's right.
And she was consumed by the Holy Ghost. And the baby Jesus was what? Was conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost. And we talked about that last week, that he was conceived at Hanukkah. And we believe also that he was born in the Feast of Tabernacles, both festivals of light. So these are proof in the beginning. There's a lot of probably a lot of other verses, but these are really clear. That makes it clear where Yeshua was going to be born, and also that he was going to be the Prince of Peace. All these wonderful things has all been revealed in the scriptures, and he was going to be born of a virgin.
Of a virgin.
And as it mentioned, his name, huh? His name is going to be called what? Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
God with us.
So those are some things to think about. So we always talk about the first covenant and the second covenant. They complement one another. They don't contradict. They always fit together. And I don't like to call the first covenant the old covenant, because it's not old. It's still alive and well today. Without this, we wouldn't have a lot of knowledge, would we?
No.
And so even Paul addressed that. He said, if I wouldn't have got into the Torah, I would have known what sin was, because Torah revealed the awesomeness of sin, how bad it was. And so when he found out what it meant, well, that changed his life. So we walk our lives, and we don't do all the legalistic things in the Torah. We know that, we've talked about. But there's spiritual truths behind every commandment that we read and listen to. And Margie covered a lot of that on our Friday night meetings when she went through the whole Torah. We did it how many years in a row?
Oh, at least five.
Yeah, we did it every year. And so there's some truth in that we need. So how can it be done away with? It tells you not to lie. Is that done away with? It tells you not to commit fornication. Has that been done away with? Does it tell you not to commit adultery? Has that been done away with? We can just do what we want today? No, it's not something we choose to do. It's something God put in place, and he demands us to keep his what? His judgments, his commandments, his statutes. He requires us to do that. Today we do it in a spiritual way also. It's in our heart. We're not circumcised in the flesh. We're circumcised in our heart. So
Amen.
He put that in place to teach us how to walk a holy life with the Messiah. And he's the one that's going to be our conqueror. He conquered death and sin for you and I. So we're so honored to know that I am, and we three are especially, how much that he loves us.
Yes.
And we can't comprehend his love. But he loves us so much, and he loves the entire world, no matter what color you are, no matter what background you have, no matter what ethnic background, where you live, whatever you've been involved with. He wants you to come to him, and he'll change your whole life, turn you upside down, maybe completely, And you have to have a whole new thinking of how you've been thinking your life has been going. Because these things that he tells us are not suggestions. Those are commandments. He wants us to obey those things. And so if we obey him, the blessings of God will follow us wherever we go if we do what the Word of God says. So that's what we want to do. We want to be obedient to that. Amen? So anyway, this proves in the first covenant that Yeshua came. Amen? And he was going to come. It's a prophetic word. So Miss Margie, you got some things you wanted to share here.
Well, amen.
Well, you know, that prophetic word was spoken about all down in the first covenant.
Right.
And so we're talking about prophecy, right?
Yep.
And all that prophecy, there's been so much prophecy that has already been fulfilled. I know you taught on that once, Pastor Gene, mm-hmm. about how much has been, there's not a whole lot left to be fulfilled, right?
Right.
Right. And so just think about Mary, though, being conceived of the Holy Ghost, being a virgin. And, you know, the angel had to come to Joseph as well because they could have put her away.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, the Pharisees accused her of committing fornication, didn't they?
So, and what would they do today, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And imagine the embarrassment, the persecution that she would have had. And but you know what, she knew, and she didn't she believed what the angel said.
That's right.
When the angel came to her, and Joseph also believed, and you know that, and because you know that had to be a virgin birth. If it wasn't a virgin birth, then he couldn't have been the Messiah.
That's right.
So it had to be a virgin
because
birth
because of what it says in Isaiah chapter 7.
Right. And so, you know, she was still a virgin when she gave birth to that, to baby Jesus,
excuse
to
me.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she didn't get an abortion, did she?
Nope, thank God.
No, and she believed in the Lord, and she was just obedient to that. And and we know even when she went to see her, Elizabeth, that the baby, John the Baptist, who was
leaped in her womb, yeah,
leaped in Elizabeth's womb.
Yeah,
well, you know, when probably when she embraced Mary, and baby Yeshua was just very small at that time.
That's right,
because there's only 6 months difference in their ages,
mm-hmm.
and so she must have just barely just conceived at that time. So these all things all happened at Hanukkah when she conceived.
That's right.
We talked about that last week. So that's. So we know that Jesus wasn't born at Christmas, but in the month which we celebrate Christmas in, he would have been conceived.
The ninth month on the Jewish calendar, which is Kislev.
Right? Kislev, right, mm-hmm. And Kislev 25, which is the first day
of Hanukkah.
Amen. Yeah. So mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's right. So you know, when we think about this, it kind of, I don't know. To me, it blew my mind when I first understood this way back. You know, I skipped one verse I wanted to read there in Micah chapter 5, verse 4. Listen to this. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, hear this, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. It's talking about Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. But thank God he came just as the Father planned, didn't
Amen.
He? As we said.
And right at the time that he was supposed to come.
That's right.
And he's going to come back for the catching away of the church.
The right time.
Right at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says it would be like in the days of Noah.
That's right.
And we certainly are living in days probably like Noah or maybe worse.
That's right.
Because of what's happening in the world today. But as Margie shares, then I'd like for you maybe, Pastor Gene, when we come back, to read the prophecy that Mary had, you know, unless right. Margie has it on hers, but
she might have.
Well, I don't know. She doesn't. But
it's all right.
So, the Lord gave words to different people.
That's right.
And about this child that was going to mm-hmm. come to be the Savior of mm-hmm. the world.
That's
Anyone
right.
who would come, no matter what nationality, not just Jew. He did come for the Jewish people.
Yes.
But he's also come for everyone, Jew and Gentile.
Amen.
That we would all come to Christ and receive our salvation. Because the word Yeshua means salvation. Amen?
That's right.
Okay, you can find that. And then
Margie's
going to
share. Right.
Hi, Miss Margie.
Hi, Pastor Gene, Pastor Donna.
We're glad to be here with you.
And I'm glad to be here with you here
right.
on WCNO.
Hallelujah.
I'm
Amen.
Sharing the word of God
mm-hmm.
from Genesis to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you, Father. And I'm going to speak a little bit about Mary. But I'd like to say first that we don't worship Mary.
That's right.
She's the mother of Jesus. So I would like to speak a little bit about her and tell some scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, the mother of Jesus, a humble servant
right.
of God, blessed among all women. In Luke 1 and 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. She was a willing servant who trusted God and obeyed his call. In Luke 1, 45, And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So maybe that's the prophecy,
right.
maybe that Pastor Gene's mm-hmm. going to look up. Thank you, Father.
Yeah, it's right here in Luke 1 also.
Thank you, Lord. And while her life held great honor, We do not praise and worship her. It is about Yeshua.
That's right.
The birth of Yeshua, our Lord and our Savior. She was just, she was a vessel for God to bring him into the world.
A chosen vessel.
That's
a
right.
chosen vessel, yes. Thank you, Lord. In Luke 1:48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden.
Mm-hmm.
For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed.
That's it.
Thank you, Father. Her calling required great suffering also.
Mm-hmm.
In Luke 2:34 and 35, we can look at that. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign
yes.
which shall be spoken against.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Praise the Lord. There was pain in the privilege of being the mother of the Messiah. John 19, if we could go to John 19.
Mm-hmm. You know, her name really means pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Father.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
John 19, 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. In verse 27, then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home.
So he took her like a mother, didn't he?
Yes.
That's right.
Despite these things, she responded to God
mm-hmm.
with great obedience and submission to his plan.
Right.
And it was a great plan, a holy plan. Luke 1, if we go back to Luke 1.
Okay. We're going back there.
Luke 1 and 46.
Okay.
And 47.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. Was she frightened? Mary's saying, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She's being obedient to him.
That's right.
And verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced.
And God, in my
God,
Savior.
My Savior.
She recognized he was her Savior.
So at that time, she even knew then.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
The conception, the birth, and resurrection. Mary was obedient, believed, trusted in God.
Yes.
In Luke 2:7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
Yes, Lord.
And laid him in a manger, which is a feeding trough.
That's right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no room in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
That's right.
Thank you, Father. Mary is a true example for Christian women and mothers today. From conception to as she took care of her baby and took care of herself, she didn't think about, as what Pastor Donna said, she didn't even think about abortion. That wasn't even thought of. Even though, you know, the Lord had a plan and she was a virgin, she wasn't, she trusted God. And you know what? We should today, too. We should trust him. With no thought of abortion, praying for and thanking God for this miracle of life, a gift. It's a gift that God gave her.
That's
and
right.
God gives us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful gift that he gives us children to bring up.
Shit.
We are to cherish and love our baby as God loved his only begotten son. Mary had faith that God would keep them safe because the future of Mary's baby, Jesus, was in God's hand.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen. And you know what? We as Christian mothers, we dedicate or baptize our babies and raise them in the love of the Lord and teach them godly principles and grow so that they grow to be strong in the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And any challenge or situation that we face with our children, we call upon Jesus to help us. So Mary had that knowing and trust in the Lord that no matter what her son was going to go through, that she could trust him and know that Jesus was in the palm of his hands at all times.
Yes.
In Proverbs 22, we're still okay with time?
Yeah, you're doing fine. Just keep going.
Okay.
It's good. This is great. I love it.
Proverbs 22. Thank you, Father. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child.
There you go.
In the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Thank you, Father. Jesus was obedient to his Father.
Mm-hmm.
He came to earth, and he was obedient to his mother and his Father and to God. This is an example for raising our children.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. In Luke 2, I also had a scripture, 11 through 14.
Okay.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. That's what this time is about.
Yeah.
Peace. That hasn't been done away with.
That's right.
We need that peace today, especially today, as time marches on and the world is becoming more
wicked.
More wicked as the day passes. So we need God's peace today, and we need salvation. People need the salvation of the Lord.
I like that song, People Need Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
We need Jesus.
We need him. Oh, how we need him. And goodwill toward men. We need, as Christians, to have goodwill toward men. And that's how, and let our light so shine to the people, to let them know that there is hope. There is hope.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm. There's hope in him.
Yes, he is our hope.
You know, we're here for a short time. Even if you live to be 100 years old, that's a short time.
Compared to eternity, yeah.
Compared to eternity. And why were we placed here? Why were we born? Why are we here?
At this particular time, too.
Yeah, and each person down through centuries was there for a certain time. And God used many people down through history to spread the word of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think about it, we're thinking about now, the people that are alive now in this century. Why? How long? How old are you? Are you 50? Are you 70? Are you 19? Think of our grandson just turned 19. Are you 19? You know, but people need Jesus. We never know how long we're going to be here. We don't know if we're going to live to be 99 years old or 100.
That's right.
And even if we do live to be that old in good health the whole time,
it's a whisper of time.
That's just like a pinch of like a sand, piece of sand compared to eternity. And so we were placed here on this earth for a reason.
Yes.
For a reason. And we choose where we're going to be the rest of eternity, which is going to be millions and trillions of years, because
never end.
The spirit and the soul never die.
Yeah.
And we're going to get, those who know the Lord will get a new body.
Hallelujah.
And those who don't, you know, there's only two places that we're going to have a choice to go. And we make that choice. It's either heaven or hell. So we have that choice to make the decision to be, we want to be saved. You wanted to go. There's only one way to heaven.
Right.
There's only one way. There's not many ways.
The
world will say there's many ways. They would say, you know, Muslims, Buddha, Krishna, all these different ways. They would say there's many ways, but there's not. There's only one way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the only way to the Father. And it says that in the Bible. But if you don't receive him and believe that and give your life to the Lord, then you don't have a choice about where you're going to be.
No.
There's only one. You have to make a decision. And so, you know, many people are riding the fence, or they've got one leg in the world and one leg maybe in the church, or maybe not even in the church. Or they're thinking about their own life. You know, what are they going to do? What are they going to become? Their career, you know, their marriage, their children, and they're not putting Jesus first.
That's right.
Putting God first.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've been in that place, you know.
Yeah, for a lot of years.
Right.
Yes.
So if we don't put God first, you know, people say, "Well, I have a life, and I'm going to have fun, and I'm just going to do what I want to do." Well, you know, that's a very short time. A very short time.
That's right.
Do what you want to do, because you don't know how long you're going to have, how many more days you're going to have on this earth, how many more years, you know. So just doing what you want to do, doing it like that song, I'll do it my way.
That's right.
We got to do it.
Frank Sinatra, yeah.
Right. He sang that song.
We'll do it God's way.
And everybody loved that song, right?
Yes.
Well, that's not the answer. We got to do
it. That's a lie. It's not the truth, right?
That is a lie. That's a lie that was given to the world.
That's right.
We aren't promised tomorrow.
No, we're not promised tomorrow. So we have to live for God and do what God has called us to do. Amen. Go ahead, Margie.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had Pastor Donna to share. There's many mothers that probably struggle with how they're going to care for their children. What is the right way?
That's right.
What is the correct way to raise my children, especially today? But you know, the Word of God, it's in the Word. Everything that we need to know, it's all here. Any questions that we have, it's all right here in the Bible. And we can just go before the Father, and we can lay all our situations at the feet of Jesus. He asks us to do that. He doesn't want us to carry the burden of what we might be dealing with our children. And you know, Mary, she was able to know and have that comfort that Jesus was in the hands of God, and he was here for a purpose. And yes, it was. It was probably very painful to watch and see all the things that happened to him on the cross, and even before the cross, when he was spit on, and the crown of thorns being put on his head, and wiped up his blood. She loved Jesus, just as we love our children. So we can, as Christian mothers, we can trust the Lord that everything is going to be taken care of. We do our part with the Lord and trust the Lord, and he'll show us how to care for our children.
That's right.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. That's good, Margie.
Thank you, Father.
You have something, Pastor Gene?
I was just looking at couple things here that where Margie was at. I backed up in Luke chapter 2.
Okay.
Here's a real prophetic word here. It says, and the angel said unto them, these were the shepherds out in the field in the wintertime, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people or in all nations. The great joy, this is a term in the Judaism of tabernacles. It's called a season of joy. So this is another proof that he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen.
And we talked about that last week in John chapter 1 talks about he came and dwelt among us.
Amen.
The word means he tabernacled among us. So it's amazing. So I was going to read some things in the scriptures here in chapter 1 I thought was pretty good.
You know, they all knew that there was going to be a Messiah come.
That's right.
And, you know, they knew he was going to be born in Bethlehem, like you said.
That's right. It was right in Micah.
And even, you know, Herod.
Herod. Yeah.
Herod knew.
Yeah.
And they killed how many babies? Who knows how many babies they killed
the males,
under the age of two, because they wanted to make sure they got the Savior. But, you know, they didn't, praise the Lord. But, you know, God had made it quite obvious because he sent a lot of people to them. He sent, like you said, the angels went to, the angels spoke to the shepherds, right?
Yeah.
And they worshiped and went there. Even the wise men were spoken to, and they weren't there at the time of his birth, but they traveled a long ways. That could have been dangerous, traveling along those highways in those days, carrying gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so it was very important for them to go.
Amen.
To go there. And, you know, even when he was circumcised on that eighth day of Tabernacles, which is called rejoicing in the Torah because he is the Torah, of course, they didn't realize it at that time. But there were two prophets, a man and a woman, waiting to see this child. And they did see him, and they prophesied over him. One was named Anna, and the other one was named, what was his name, Pastor?
Simeon.
Simeon.
His name means to hear.
To hear. And so they were able to probably hold him and spoke a word over him. And I'm sure those words encouraged Mary as well.
Yes.
And, you know, interesting, Joseph, he took the responsibility to raise him, to be his dad. I wouldn't call him his father because God is his father, praise the Lord. But he took that responsibility to take care of Mary and to take care of the Savior, his Savior. Amen. Pastor Gene, what you got there?
I'm in Luke chapter 1 to show you what Mary believed.
Hallelujah.
We know that in verse 42, Elizabeth said, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Mm-hmm. Now let's go on. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Talking about coming to Elizabeth.
This is a prophecy.
Right. Word. For lo, as soon as the voice of this, of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Margie read that. And then here, listen, verse 46. Now we're going to listen to Mary. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So she knew that Yeshua, her baby, was the Savior of the world. Yes. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hoped on that word in the King James means he's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her, who was this, with Elizabeth, about 3 months, and returned to her own house. So that's her prophetic word. Now, over here in chapter 1, let's read some things here. I'm going to start in verse 27. How much? We're doing good on time, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Espoused means he was engaged, okay? Now, we know that Joseph didn't bring Jesus into the world, so he raised Jesus like a stepfather, didn't he? Whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind the manner of, or what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Huh? Hebrew, yes, is what? Yeshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Wow. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. There was the first miracle. Elizabeth was beyond childbearing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 37.
And God wanted to encourage her by saying, right, that, you know, Elizabeth also was going to have a child.
That's right.
Because when she went to stay with Elizabeth, they encouraged each other, I believe.
Right. Now, verse 37 is an interesting one here in Luke 1. For with God nothing shall be impossible. When we look at this with the Greek language and all that, what it's telling us is with God, not a single word, not one word that he ever spoken, shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now we know Zacharias, he didn't believe, did he, what God told him? And he was mute for 9 months,
yes,
until the baby came.
Until the baby was circumcised, actually.
Actually, yeah. And so here we see that Mary believed, and the word, it came from God directly. It's a rhema word, a living word. And Mary arose in those days and went into all the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, this is John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And I already read the rest of this. And so when we think about it, what an amazing what God's done, you know.
Awesome.
And Luke, you know, Luke talks more about it. Matthew mentions it, but it's not as much as we see here in the book of Luke, showing what happened with Zacharias and all that. And so what an incredible event that happened. And, you know, we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 3:16, most of us know that one. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Let's go look at that for a moment. Let's go to John.
He was willing to give up his own Son.
That's right.
Yes. I'd like to read a,
go right,
yeah, something here. I'll wait till you're finished.
Okay, I'm just about done here. Chapter 3. Yeah. Now, we read verse, I just spoke and gave you verse 16, but look at verse 17, the one right after that. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Listen to this. But that the world through him, what, might be saved. So what are they saved from? They're saved, what, from hell? But the main thing, they're saved from all, from their sin. Their sin's been washed away because of the blood.
They'll have a ticket to heaven.
That's right. And then verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be what? Reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we need to have the truth, and Yeshua is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Now, one thing that always got me here, I always enjoyed reading this, was verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So you think, this is a rhema word. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words. These are the rhema words from God. For God giveth, what? Not the words of the Spirit by measure unto him. He got all the words that
all
God gave.
All the words.
All.
Amen.
God gave him all of it.
Amen.
And then verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Now 36 is a heavy verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Abideth on him, remember, as long as he is an unbeliever. Once he comes, he doesn't have death.
Amen.
On
now
his
you
life.
Just read about who believed, right?
Who
believed our report.
That's right.
And over here in Isaiah 53, you know, the Jewish people should be able to see this and understand.
That's right.
That Yeshua is the Messiah. They're still looking for a Messiah, or they think somebody else has come along. But it says right here, the very first verse, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. They didn't desire him, did they?
No.
He is despised and rejected of men, that happened, a man of sorrow,
yes,
that was, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. These are all prophetic words that have been fulfilled. Surely he hath bore our grief and carried our sorrows.
Yes.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This all happened to Jesus. But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Thank you, Lord.
And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
See, it says we are healed.
Amen.
We're healed in Jesus'
all
name.
All we like
Amen.
Sheep have gone astray. Haven't we all gone astray at one time or another?
Yes.
And some of you still are going astray. You need to come to Jesus.
Yes.
We have turned everyone to his own way. Remember I said everyone's wanting to do their own thing?
Yes.
I mean, we only have a certain amount of time in this life. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He died for all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. It was the very same time they were sacrificing the lambs. Amen. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I'm almost finished here. I have a few minutes. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? We should, shouldn't we?
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. He was in a rich man's grave in his death, because he had done no violence, neither had any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, because God loved the world.
That's right. Yes.
He gave his only begotten
Son.
Knows
everybody, yes.
He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. There it is. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. My righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Amen.
Yes.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He's
Amen.
Making intercession for us now.
That's
yes.
right. And you think about when you come to the Lord, you receive his righteousness, and the moment that you come to him, it doesn't mean you're going to become righteous. You are made righteous the moment that you ask him to come into your life.
Glory to
and
God.
That's one thing about the King James Bible that's so clear in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, not become, that we might become the righteous, but we be made the righteousness of God in him the moment that we come." So you that are listening, if you're living in sin and you know that from things that you've heard and all, and you've been just convicted of certain things from time to time, well, all you have to do is come to Christ, confess your sin before him. He's faithful and just to forgive you
Amen.
Of that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And at that moment, you will be made righteous in him. Amen. So come to the Lord today in Yeshua, Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton and Miss Margie. And we're just blessed to be on here this Sabbath day.
Yes.
So we just wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, have fun with your families. If you'd like to reach us, our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. And we say what? Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace
and rest to all of you that's listening today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
We are raising the standard.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.